How many of you feel like you're on a great adventure? Sometimes you feel like you're going through the storm of that great adventure. All the time, somebody said. But yet it's a great adventure. Well, I want to welcome you to the annual Evident Life Church Tour, where we're going to explore and take a look at our past. We're going to remind ourselves of the calling that God has on us as a church, and we're going to look forward to our future here at Evident Life Church. First thing I want to say, and as you look at the screen, the graphic that's up on the screen, is that we are a church who believes in using GPS. And what that stands for is God's positioning system. All right? Not just your iPhone. GPS, God's positioning system. What does that mean? It means that we're a people, we're a church who is desperate for the Lord to guide us and direct us in all things. We're a church who needs to hear from God. We're a people who need to be Spirit-led, and we're a people who need to be in God's Word so that we know where He's taking us and what He has in store for us. We're going to talk a little bit about that here in just a few minutes. But what I want to do right now is I want us to take a quick look at our past. Where have we come from as a church? Well, we began by launching on September 13, 2009. How many of you in this room were here at that first meeting in 2009? Just a few of us. We launched, and our first meeting was in the public library here in Gilbert. We used to meet every afternoon at the Southeast Regional Library, and we would finish up at about 5:30 or so, and then we would go out afterwards to the Brown's house every week, and we'd have a potluck every single week. Right now we have one potluck a month, and it's one of the most attended services of the entire month. Because why? Everyone likes to fellowship, and I think the food is good too. Another thing that I want to mention, if you were in those meetings back in the library, how many of you attended when we were in the library? Maybe not the first meeting, but you were there in the library. Do you remember back in those good old days, about 15 minutes into the sermon, when you'd hear this beep that was coming from the wall, so we could never stop? We tried to put foam over the intercom system in there, but they wouldn't turn it down because it was some safety thing. But you'd hear that beep, and then the person would come on the speaker and say, "The library will be closing in 15 minutes. Right in the middle of the sermon. Then 15 minutes later, sermon's still going on. Beep! The library is now closed. Please exit the building. Those were the good old days. Then Easter of 2010, God blessed us with this facility. Significant blessing. It's a very comfortable place to come and worship the Lord and gather together. And we're very blessed to have this facility. And as we were launching Evident Life Church back in 2009, God also had placed on our hearts that we were to launch a house of prayer. We were to open up a house of prayer. In fact, it was because of the whole process of searching for a facility for a house of prayer, for a prayer room, that God led us to this facility that provided us with so much more. And so, as we were launching Evident Life Church, we also began the ministry of the East Valley House of Prayer. Amen. Yes. We launched it as a place to come into God's presence, to intercede for God's kingdom to come right now in our neighborhoods, our streets, our cities, our state, our nation, and the nations around the world. By God's grace, as I said earlier, there's a prayer meeting happening every single day of the week, which means every single day of the year. In fact, some days we have multiple prayer meetings going on. And it's just a blessing to see what God is doing and what He's birthing. It's all Him. I mean, we're just obedient. We're just following Him, and He's creating a house of prayer, a place where intercession is going on, right here in the East Valley of the Phoenix metropolitan area. It's astounding. Through East Valley House of Prayer, through our commitment to prayer, through our obedience in the place of prayer, God has opened up many opportunities for us as a church to be involved in leadership throughout the state. For instance, if you remember in 2011, just this past year, we were invited to be part of the leadership team for the Luis Palau City Fest event. And we were part of the prayer leadership team. We brought prayer tents to the event where prayer was going on. People were being healed. People were being set free. People were being equipped to lead others to Christ. And in that weekend, over 3,000 people made that initial decision to say, yes, I want to know Jesus more and I want to follow Him. It was an incredible blessing that we were brought into that last year. Also, through our commitment to prayer, we've also been brought into the leadership team of the 1111 movement, which, of course, is that group of young adults, young men and women, who are being led by the Lord to bring prayer back in schools. And we've had the privilege of coming alongside of them, offering leadership, assistance, resources. We were blessed to be able to be part of the worship and prayer teams at four of the events up on stage with them. So God is doing incredible things. Also, the National Day of Prayer through the East Valley House of Prayer. We were brought in to be one of the leaders for the National Day of Prayer here in Gilbert, which is also then opened up meetings with the mayor. And in fact, the mayor, who is a Mormon, actually came to one of our services, to an entire service here, and opened up his office to bring myself and another local pastor in to pray with him and other members of the city council for over an hour and a half. So God is doing things. As we are obedient to the Lord, as we are following His lead, as we are establishing the house of prayer, He is opening up doors and using us in ways that are way bigger and way larger than just a small church plant should be involved in. But when we go with God, we get to experience that great adventure of bigger things. It's exciting. And I want to encourage you in your individual lives, as you seek the Lord, as He calls you to things, and as you show yourself faithful in those little things, as you show God that you're a yes man or a yes woman, and you'll just do what He says to do, He will take you places that you could never dream of or even imagine. He'll blow your mind. It will be exciting. It's the best and most exciting way to live. And so we choose to live that way as a church. We're going to say yes to God. We're going to go where He calls us to go. Also in our past, what has God given us opportunities to be involved in? Africa. Back as we were launching this church, and even before the church was launched, the Lord opened up a relationship with a local pastor in Ghana, Africa. And we've had two different occasions of going over to Ghana, Africa. The first trip was with my family. We took the whole family, Velvet, myself, and all four kids, and we spent a month there, living there, without running water, with intermittent electricity on and off, but with an incredible experience with God and eyes being opened to new and greater things. Getting out of this kind of American church bubble and seeing the greater kingdom of God and what God is able to do and what He's doing around the world. And the Lord then has opened up an opportunity for us as a church to do amazing, great things on the other side of the world. As a result of being involved with Pastor Emmanuel and the ministry over in Ghana, Africa, we've actually been responsible and been blessed to be able to plant a church in one of the villages in the Volta region of Ghana that did not have a church. And this congregation completely funded and built the church, as well as providing for the salary of the pastor for the first year. That's incredible. That was when we were just starting as a church and we were already having the opportunity to have this kind of impact around the world. I'm telling you what, that's really unheard of, but a great privilege that God has given us to be able to do that. The last visit that we had with some of the men here at the church when we went to Ghana, we did five nights of crusades. And in those five nights of crusades, I had the privilege of preaching and just speaking the gospel through translators to the people that were there. And over 240 people in those five nights of crusades came to Christ. and literally came out of the darkness of the bush into the lights that we had there. And they came out of the darkness of witchcraft, which is very prevalent in the Volta region of Ghana. The most witchcraft in the whole country is right there in that region where we minister. 240 people coming out of that kind of background into a relationship with the living God, Jesus Christ. That's incredible. And it's a blessing that we get to be part of that. We've also been able to impact the Christian school that the ministry there runs. When we began to be part of this relationship in Ghana, the Christian school there had about 300-350 students. And over the past 2 years of involvement with them, we've been able to pour into them, primarily with financial resources, helping them to build their facilities. In fact, the most recent thing that we did just this past fall was we funded restrooms. They did not have restrooms at this school that's grown from 350 students to now 650 students. And they didn't have a restroom. And so we were able to build a boys' restroom and a girls' restroom with real toilets that flush. That's literally unheard of over there in these villages. And let me tell you something else about this school. These children are learning reading, writing, and arithmetic, and that's important. But they're also learning about Jesus Christ. And they're developing real, authentic relationships with the living God. This school isn't just about the three R's. These kids are growing up, some of them already are growing up to be elders and pastors in the churches in these villages around the school. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And we're privileged to be part of this. It's a real blessing. I just want to quickly say one other thing about the school. They're feeding the students. And when we started, they were able to feed them one meal a day, which was really amazing. But now they're able to feed the students two meals a day. And many of the students, I'd say well over half of them, this is the only food, the only real meals that they get all week long, are the meals that they get at the school. And one of the reasons that they're able to do this is because the ministry over there now was able to purchase a maize field, so they grow their own maize. And they've also started a chicken farm. So they have their own poultry and their own eggs that they're able to supply. And it's real life. It's being able as a small church over here in Arizona to be involved in amazing big things that are happening, providing for the physical needs and the spiritual needs of our brothers and sisters on the other side of the globe. It's a privilege and it's a blessing. It's part of our past. It's part of our heritage. And believe me, it's part of our future also. Some other things that God has done in our past here at Evident Life Church is our first year we were able to baptize 11 people. Our first year back in 2010, our first full year. This past year, well over a dozen. I think it was closer to like 15 people. I'm believing God for many, many more baptisms, many, many more people coming to Christ through this congregation at Evident Life Church. We hosted our first conference when we brought Radiant Nation from the International House of Prayer in Kansas City here. And it was an incredible time of equipping and an incredible time of just being able to receive from God. And we're believing God for many, many more of those kind of opportunities. But we've also experienced the powerful hand of God right here in the lives of the people at Evident Life Church. I mean, I have the privilege of being able to see this church at work and watch how you minister to one another and how we're seeing people coming out of darkness into the light of Jesus Christ, how we're seeing people's lives go from bondage to freedom in Christ Jesus, as we're witnessing people being healed, even as Al Simmons was healed of cancer over the past 4 months. It was a miracle. It was wonderful. God is healing bodies. Big things like cancer, little things like a sore knee, colds and flus. I mean, God is moving in power among His people, and He's bringing His kingdom, depositing His kingdom into our lives today. And it's an incredible blessing to be able to witness this as it's happening in our lives. And it's happening not from the pulpit, not because we all line up right here and we lay hands on each other on a Sunday, but because we're just being the church, and you all are ministering to one another. You're being the church, brothers and sisters in Christ, toward one another, and God is moving in powerful ways I got to tell you what, God is good. He's good. He's established His church. He's resourced His church. He's building His church. And He's blessed His church. And we have a lot to be thankful for. Amen? Let's just take a moment here. Let's just thank God. Let's give Him a clap offering. Let's just praise Him with our voices and say, thank You, Lord. Thank You, God, for what You've done. Thank You for Your goodness, Lord. God, You're so good to us. You're so good to us, God. This is Your church, Jesus. This is Your church, God. We see Your hand, Lord, and we are grateful and we're humbled, Lord. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. Let me talk about our calling as a church at Evident Life. Evident Life Church is about seeing people saved, healed, set free, discipled, equipped, and empowered. For what? To live for God and to advance His kingdom. That's what we're about. That's what we feel God has called us to do. And at Evident Life Church, we're Christocentric, which means we're all about Jesus. We're totally dependent on Jesus Christ. We're totally dependent on the work of Jesus Christ, on the person of Jesus Christ, on what He's done and what He's doing in our lives. Jesus Christ is our hope. That word hope in the New Testament in the Greek means deep desire and great expectation. At Evident Life Church, Jesus is our deep desire. He is who we long for, to know Him today and to see Him tomorrow. He is our great expectation. Jesus is. And so we hope for Him. Therefore, we're driven by Jesus to do the things that Jesus did when He walked on this earth. Many people wear that bracelet, WWJD. What would Jesus do? That's a good thing to ask. I like to go, what did Jesus do? Let's look to God's Word. What did Jesus do? And we're to do the same thing. Isn't that one of the things Jesus told us? He said, look, you're going to do all of these things that I've been doing, but even greater things. Because you're going to be a church that's growing, filled with the Holy Spirit, doing the things that I did, but even greater things. And that's who we want to be. I believe that's who we are. And we're growing in that every single day, every single week, as we seek the Lord and as we're dependent upon Him. So on our tour today, what I want to do, though, is I want to break down some very specific things that God's called us to. First of all, I want to say that God has called us by name. He's called each one of you individually by name. He knows you. He knew you before you were even in your mother's womb. But He's also called us as a congregation, as a church, by name. He called us Evident Life Church. That name was given to us by the Lord. I searched Google, believe me, and Google, when you look at Google, that tells you the truth, and you know what's really going on in the world when you search Google. And I searched it, and I didn't find another church by that name back when we planted this church. Now, there is one in Michigan who's called us, asked if they could use our name, and we said, of course. Go for it. Be evident. Go after it. Do it. But God gave us the name Evident Life Church, and there's a reason. Because He was telling us, I want it to be evident that I, Jesus Christ, am in you, that I'm working in you, that I've changed you, that I've redeemed you, that I've rescued you, that you're a new person. I want it to be evident to the whole world that you're new in Christ Jesus. And so we're called Evident Life Church. And by God's grace, the world will see evidence of Jesus in us. Evidence of redemption happening in our lives. And in us corporately as a group too. But Jesus has also clearly instructed us that the roots of an evident life go deep. The roots of an evident life go deep. What that word deep stands for is four different things. Four different specific callings that God has on us and for us as a congregation. He's called us to discipleship. That's the D in the word deep. He's called us to discipleship, to evangelism, to encounter. That's encountering the presence of God, being filled with the Holy Spirit, being people who walk by the Spirit. And he's also called us to prayer. D-E-E-P. Discipleship, evangelism, encounter, and prayer. So what I want to do is I want to spend a few minutes going through each one of these very specific callings that God has on us as a church. The first one is discipleship. If you would turn with me to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. God's word says, it was He, meaning God, it was God who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. For what purpose? To prepare God's people for works of service. Why? So that the body of Christ may be built up, so that the church would mature until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's what God wants for us. The fullness of Christ. Fullness. Just feeling even right now as I said that, there are some of you who need to hear that word today, who need to know right now that God has not designed you to walk around empty, but to walk around full. Not full with what the world offers, but full of Him. Being filled by Him. Immersed in Him. Verse 14, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body joined and held together, not separate, going our own direction, being our own people, an island unto ourselves, no, but joined together and held together by every supporting ligament, we will grow and build each other up in love as each part does its work. So, discipleship. Evident Life Church, we're about equipping people to do the work of God, to be fully alive followers of Jesus Christ who worship God in spirit and in truth. We believe it's God's intention for people to live lives of victory, to live lives of freedom, while bringing His love, His compassion, His righteousness to a lost and needy world. And so it's the role of the church, it's the role of us collectively to equip each other to do this. It's not just the job of paid professionals. We are the body of Christ. We are the church. And we are to disciple one another so that we will be equipped to do the things of God and to bring the kingdom of God into this world. To bring the kingdom of God, the freedom of God, the redemption that we have through Jesus Christ to our loved ones, to our neighbors, to our co-workers, to our state, to those in Africa, wherever God leads you, wherever God leads us as the body of Christ. So to this end, we're committed to being a community of believers who intentionally and who thoughtfully seek God's word for all truth. We go to the Bible. We look to the word of God for all truth while inviting the fullness of the Holy Spirit into our lives, into our worship, into our ministry, and into our relationships. Spirit and truth, they go together. They're not mutually exclusive. They work together. They work very well together. They'll lead the people. They'll lead the church into the things of God. We will be fully alive in Christ as we purposefully respond to the truth of God's word and as we are filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Allow His gifts to work in our lives. Another thing I want to say about discipleship is that it doesn't just happen. I mean, we don't just grow because we exist. We have to feed ourselves. We have to exercise. We have to have nourishment. Same thing spiritually. We've got to be intentional about growing in the things of God. It's part of the Great Commission. And let me tell you this, an equipped saint is a powerful tool in the hand of God. So that's why we have life group meetings. I'm going to go back to life groups. I want to encourage you to get involved in a life group, because there's much discipleship and equipping that happens in our life group gatherings. In those small group gatherings where we're coming together as the body of Christ, and we're encouraging one another, where we're walking with each other through the good and the bad of life. A lot of equipping that happens in those seasons of life. So we've got to be involved in life groups. That's also why we have prayer meetings. Because discipleship happens as we gather together as the body of Christ and we pray. God shows up and we get to learn from one another how to receive the presence of God and how to respond to the presence of God and how to cry out for the presence of God and how to pray for healing, how to pray for deliverance. When we come together, we learn from one another and we equip each other in life group gatherings, prayer meetings, Sunday morning. As the Word of God is preached, and as we're challenged as the body of Christ to go, get more of God, go deeper, shed the old, put on the new. Let's be the people of God. And so we come together as the body of Christ. Discipleship is intentional. And I want to encourage us as a church to continue to be intentional about that. Gathering together so that iron can sharpen iron, and we can grow in the things of God together. Jesus' final command was, make disciples. So, I want to encourage each one of you, be a disciple. Be a disciple, and then disciple others. That's our calling. As the people of God, it's our calling as a church also. The second calling that we have, the first one is D, discipleship. And then the second calling we have is the first D in the word deep, is evangelism. Go to Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It's the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus came to them and He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Therefore," He's saying, "because I have all authority, because I pass that authority on to you, who are in Me, My disciples, My followers, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." And God's so good that He then finishes that seemingly impossible thing to teach people to obey everything Jesus has commanded with this truth, that surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. He's saying you can do this. You can disciple others and you can be evangelists. You can do it, church. You can do it, followers of Christ. Each one of you can evangelize, can tell others about Jesus, can have the right words to say, the right things to speak into somebody's lives. You can know what needs to be taught to others so that they can grow up in the things of God. Why? Because all authority in heaven on earth is in Christ. And He's given that to us, His disciples. And He'll be with us to the very end. Therefore, let's go. Let's be disciples and let's make disciples. And let's be evangelists, because the first part of discipling somebody is introducing them to Jesus Christ. As a New Testament church, we embrace the Great Commission. We're committed to personal, to local, and to global evangelism. And we believe that there can be many different approaches to evangelism. one-on-one, group settings. I mean, there are some that are called to be street preachers. There are all different ways that we can share Jesus Christ with other people. But the point is that we're called to share. You know, God's Word says, how will they believe unless they hear? How will they hear unless someone tells them? Well, who's that someone that's going to tell them? Jesus has said, hey, it's you guys. It's you who have already heard. It's you who are my followers, who are my disciples that know me. Don't keep it to yourselves. Go tell others. At Evident Life Church, evangelism isn't simply the role of a committee chairperson or just a few people. We believe God's Word has told each one of us to be evangelists. And He's given us what we need to do that. We're all called to be evangelists. That's a privilege. It really is a privilege to be someone who is entrusted by Jesus Christ to tell others about Him. We're all called to partner with Christ to save the world. That's exciting. Come on, kids. You get to save the world. Dun, 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 dun. It's a privilege. Therefore, we got to encourage each other to make evangelism part of our everyday lives. All right, we do. We need to do that. And I'm going to talk more about each one of these things at the end as we look to our future. I got to get rolling here. The third calling that we have. First one is D, discipleship. Second one is E, evangelism. The third one is encounter. Encountering the person, encountering the power and the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. How many of you know that God is with us right now? How many of you know that? The Holy Spirit, God, is with us right now. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. But He sent God, the Holy Spirit, to be with us right now. And we need to be a people who are living in that reality and are encountering Him all the time. I cannot live a day without God. I can't. I've tried it. I tried it too many years of my life, and it was a mess. It was a complete mess. I choose not to live that way anymore. Look at God's Word in John 14. I'm going to go quickly. You don't have to turn to these. But in John 14, Jesus says to His disciples, "It is good that I leave because I'm sending the Holy Spirit." In Luke 24, He said, "Wait for the Holy Spirit." In other words, don't rush into life and into ministry and into just going after things without the Holy Spirit. Don't do it. That's foolish. It's dangerous. Don't do it. Wait for the Holy Spirit. It's going to be good. I'm sending Him. Wait for Him. So what do we see the church do in Acts 2? The church waited for the Holy Spirit. They got together in the upper room. They prayed. They fasted. They sought the Lord and they cried out, "Holy Spirit, come! Holy Spirit, come!" And what happened? They had an encounter with God like one they've never had before. Like one that was even different than when Jesus Himself was walking as a man on this earth. They encountered the Holy Spirit who came and blew the windows and the doors off of that place. And there were these tongues of fire that came and hovered over them. And they were filled and they walked out of that place empowered by God being the church. And 3,000 people were added to their number that day. We need that, folks. We do not want to be a people who are walking out in the streets attempting to be the church without the presence of God, without the fullness, the baptizo, the immersion in the Holy Spirit. We need Him. And at Evident Life Church, we believe the gifts, the presence, the power of the Holy Spirit are available to us today just like they were to the church at the time of Acts. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We are the same church. We are the same people of God. And we have the same gifts that have been given to us. And we need to understand that. We need to receive the gifts that the Holy Spirit has for us. We need to eagerly desire them, as the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians. and we need to embrace them and use them. It's exciting. It's very exciting. And you know what? I just say that as a church, we are growing in that. Individually and corporately, we're growing in that. And it's a blessing to see so many of you desiring, eagerly desiring, more of the gifts of the Spirit. And it's just neat to see when you step out in faith and you don't let fear control you anymore, and you step out in obedience and you use the gifts that God's given you. Do it. God will show up. He's not going to leave you hanging. And the body of Christ will be blessed by it. We believe that programs alone can't change a person's heart. But the presence of God sure will. So we need to be a church that is encouraging and creating a place and a space for people to encounter the presence of God. We seek to introduce people to the intimate and life-changing presence of God, resulting in God filling their lives. Like I said before, we are created to be full, not to be empty vessels, but to be full. And what we are supposed to be full of is God. So our preaching, our teaching, our ministry is designed to reveal God and again to make a space and a place for people to encounter His presence. The fourth calling specifically that we have, as we were told that the roots of an evident life must go deep, the fourth calling is prayer. Prayer matters greatly. Prayer changes things. If you didn't know that, I'm telling you, it matters greatly. Prayer changes things. Why is prayer important? Because it's important to God. Jesus said in Matthew 6, when you pray, not if you pray. Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5, and he instructed the church, the people of God, to never stop praying. Pray without ceasing. How do you do that? Well, you know what? It is possible. You can actually go through your whole life always in the presence of God, in a place of communication with the Lord at all times. He's created us to be multitaskers. You can be on the phone dealing with a business issue and still be in communication and intimacy with the Lord at the same time. I'm just telling you right now. All right? He's made us to be multitaskers. You can do it. And sometimes that means that you're going to need to be developing your ability and your understanding of that gift of praying in the Spirit and being able to be in the Spirit even when you're just, you know, talking with somebody else. I've told this story to many people. I don't know if I've said it on a Sunday before, but some people think I'm crazy sometimes, and I got to watch this because I don't want to be known as the crazy man around Gilbert. But I'll be walking into a store or a QT or Walgreens or something like that to pick up something, and I'll find myself just from the car right into the place of business just continuing to pray in the Spirit. And people will sometimes look at me funny and maybe think I'm from a different country. I don't know, Ukrainian, or I don't look Chinese. Actually, my descendants are from Norway, so maybe the Lord will help give me a little Norwegian in my prayer language, so it'll maybe connect a little bit more. But we can be a people. What I'm saying is, and I really went off there, but what I'm saying is we are called to be a people who pray and continually pray and are continuing day in and day out, moment by moment, being in an intimate relationship and conversation with the Lord. There's not a separation between, you know, the world and what we do in the world and what we do with God. We are the same person, and we are to have God involved in every moment of every activity that we're involved in. 2 Chronicles 7 states, if we humble ourselves as a church, as God's people, if we were to humble ourselves and pray, seek His face, turn from sin, God will actually hear from heaven. He'll hear us. And He'll heal our land. He'll actually change the culture. He'll change the circumstances in our society. He'll get rid of abortion. He'll change the culture in Hollywood. He'll change things when the church really gets this and comes together and intentionally seeks God and prays. prayer is important. It says in 1 John 5, 14 and 15, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. It's amazing. God hears you. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of Him. Prayer has got to be a lifestyle. It must be, again, who we are individually and corporately. God wants His church to be a praying church. Not just a church with a prayer team, but a praying church. That's every single one of us. People of prayer. That's our calling. That's what God's Word has called you to. You're a member of the royal priesthood, an intercessor. You are a prayer warrior if Christ is in you. If you're a new creation in Jesus Christ, you're a new prayer warrior. You need to know that. Embrace it. It's exciting. You'll get to see amazing things. Isaiah 56, 7 says, "For my house will be called a house of prayer." Evident Life Church is called to be a house of prayer because that's what God's called us to be. And so we will follow that calling. Before we end this tour, I want us to take a quick, brief look at our future. What is God calling us into in 2012? Well, we're called to go deep, so we have things in each one of these areas of calling in our church life that God has for us in 2012. We're going to focus on discipleship, biblical teaching, expository studies. If you're new to the church, you're going to find out that we do probably half or more of our sermons are actually expository, where we're going to take a book of the Bible and we're going to go through it verse by verse. And we're going to let God's Word and the Holy Spirit just open up our minds and reveal His purpose and plan in our lives. We're going to be starting a new series here in 2 weeks. Next week, we have Dr. Andrew Jackson here, who's going to be preaching and sharing with us. I'm excited to have my friend and my mentor here, and most of you know him, and so it's going to be a great weekend next weekend. The following weekend, we are going to be starting a new series. What we believe about our future affects how we live in the present. What you believe about your future dictates how you live today. And we're going to be spending a lot of time in the book of Revelation. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be thrilling. Fireworks are going to go off. Hey, I'm stepping out in a lot of faith to be going this direction, but I feel God is saying this is what He wants us to know right now as a church. We've got to look at our future and what God has planned for us, and we've got to know it so that we live today toward our real future. Life groups resume this week. Discipleship happens there. Men's and women's gatherings are going to continue. The weekly men's meeting on Tuesday morning. The monthly women's gathering on the third Saturday of each month. Discipleship happens. I'm telling you what, men, you're shortchanged by having me on Tuesday mornings, because I understand that a whole lot more exciting things happen at the women's gatherings. So I'm going to keep my hands out of that one and let you women keep going, because it's been fabulous. That's the word on the street anyway. Youth nights, we're going to do a little twist on those, and we're going to be working on changing those up just a little bit, moving into the first part of this year. The second area of our future, of course, is evangelism and outreach. We're going to continue our involvement in Ghana, Africa. In fact, we're going to be going back this summer. Who wants to join me? Come on. Who wants to join me? I want you to pray about it. I want you to seek the Lord about going to Ghana this summer. We haven't finalized the dates yet, but it's going to be 2 weeks, 14 to 15 days, either in June or in August. We're just trying to work out the details with our friends over in Ghana. But I want you to pray about going. It can be a life changer for some of you. If God's calling you to do it, don't say no because of finances, because God will fund His plans. He finances His projects. He does it. I've seen it. I'm living it, okay? He does it. Don't let money be the issue. It'll be the best vacation you've ever taken. I'll say that also. But also, we're going to be in the area of evangelism. We're going to be developing an evangelism and outreach leadership team. And now I say a leadership team because it's not a team. It's just a team that's going to be creating and bringing opportunities for us as the church to engage in evangelism and engage in outreach. Not for them to do it while we watch and say, well, we're tithing and so we're doing it, you know, vis-a-vis through them. No. But they're going to bring opportunities. One of our elders, Don Shrine, has volunteered to head up that leadership team. And so if God's calling you to be part of that leadership team, I encourage you to get with Don. If God has given you a heart for evangelism and outreach, you need to connect with Don. And we're going to see some incredible opportunities, I believe, brought to the church for each one of you to get engaged in the areas of evangelism and outreach. The third area in our future, of course, is encountering the presence of God. If you were at the awakening on Wednesday, God really focused on that, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Encountering His presence, embracing those. I believe that that is something that God really wants to develop in us this year. He wants to break fear off of us, and He wants us to be a church who embraces the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to do it in an orderly fashion, as the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 14, but we're not going to push it away because we're afraid of it. Because without it, we're not going to go where God's calling us. We're not going to grow into the people that God's created us to be. Jesus says, wait for the Holy Spirit. You need Him. You need to be filled. So we're going to be allowing the Holy Spirit to continue to get in there, get in our lives, get in our church, do His thing, guide us, direct us. Our awakening meetings, our prayer group gatherings, our life groups, our Sunday morning gatherings. Another exciting thing along these lines, along evangelism, along outreach, along discipleship too, is we're going to get to be involved in bringing the Elijah Revolution here to the Phoenix metropolitan area in March. So we're part of that team. I was on a conference call with folks at IHOP and the 1111 team and others here locally and from Kansas City on planning that whole event. And so that's coming in March. And as a church, we're going to get to be feet on the street and we're going to get to be part of what God is doing through that. Prayer. We're called to be a house of prayer. We're going to continue in that calling. I don't know where it's going to go this year, but it's exciting just to dream about. We have a prayer meeting every day of the week, every day of the year going on right now. And I just believe that God is going to continue to draw the royal priesthood together. You know, frankly, sometimes in our prayer meetings, we might have a couple people. That's it. I believe that there are many people who are sitting at home watching television that God's really called to be at some of those prayer meetings. But the busyness of life, and if you remember from a sermon last year, busy being under Satan's yoke, the busyness of life is keeping some of us in the church from the things of God. I want to challenge you. Don't let that happen. Don't let the world control you. Don't let life dictate. Let the giver of life dictate your schedule and what you're doing. We're going to be involved in the 1111 movement this year. There's a lot of exciting stuff going on with that, with prayer in our high schools and with the youth, and also the National Day of Prayer. We're going to continue to do life together as a church, fellowship times, camping trips. We're going to try to get some more of those scheduled or ask some of the guys who are experts at that to get more of those scheduled. They're fun. I'm not a good tent guy, but they're fun. Potlucks, helping one another with needs, with moves. This church is incredible with serving one another and coming along one another to help one another out. It's unbelievable. It's a privilege and a blessing and humbling to see this church at work in those areas of serving and loving on one another. God's pleased with that. He really, really is. Most importantly, what's going to happen this year? More of God. We're desperate for more of God. We want more of Him. Holy Spirit, come. Living God, come. We need more of You this year. That's our heart's cry. And that's what we're expecting because we know that that's what God wants. That's His will. So in closing, I'd like for all of us to stand up. I want us to declare Psalm 67 together. Over our lives and over our church. As we continue our journey, May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face shine upon us, so that Your ways may be known on earth, Your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise You. May all the peoples praise You. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For You rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise You, God. May all the peoples praise You. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear Him. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord right now. God, that is our prayer. Lord, we do ask that You would continue to bless us, because we're desperate for Your blessing. We're desperate for Your touch. We're desperate for Your move in our lives, individually, as families, as a church, God. We need Your blessing. God, we ask that You would bless us so that we can be a blessing to others. God, that You would fill us so that we can overflow with You, so that others can encounter You, so that we can be evangelists and ministers, so that we can be the royal priesthood. Oh God, bless us. Fill us. We need more of You this year. God, we say thank You for all that You've done in us, to us, and through us, and for us, God. We give You the glory, for every good thing comes from You. And God, more of You is what we desire this year. More of You, God. Lord, I pray that for each person in this room. Lord, that each person in this room would know You more this year, would encounter You more, would grow in You, would grow in the gifts that You have for them, Lord. God, that each person in this room would experience You at a higher level, at a deeper level. God, continue Your work in this congregation. And Lord, we know, because Your word tells us, that You will complete that which You've started in our lives. And Lord, in this church, God, as a church, that the gates of hell will not prevail against us, because this is Your church. You are faithful, Lord. You are good, Lord. And we put all of our trust in You, because You're trustworthy. Because You're good. You are our God, and we are Your people. And we love You this day and forevermore. And we say this, and we're confident in this, because of our Savior, Jesus Christ, because of what He's done and what He's yet to do. And in His name, we all say, Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you.